verses 27 to 30. It's where we were last week. You said, you're right. You're listening. We're still there today. What we're looking at in these passages, as you can tell when we read them, is the issue of security. Security. So let's read these verses first, beginning in verse 27 of John chapter 10. My sheep hear my voice, I know them, they follow me. Jesus said, I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one's able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Security, security of salvation. That's where we are. That's what we're looking at in these passages at this time. The question then has to run to the front, is salvation permanent? For it to be secure, it has to be permanent. What is salvation based on? All of those questions start perking to the top of any look, any study, any discussion of security. Last week, if you were with us, actually this is the second part of last week's teaching. The first part, we looked at the positions on security. Today we're going to look at the passages about security and the peace that's based on security. Now, if you were with us last week, the positions that we investigated were these. You can lose your salvation, and you have to earn your salvation. Those are two positions that would challenge the security of salvation in Jesus Christ. You can earn salvation, you have to earn salvation, and you can lose salvation. Well, this morning we're going to look at the passages. So, lest there be any confusion, this is not what I'm saying. But the passages are the passages from His inspired, inerrant Word. That's the passages that I'm talking about. The real issue, as we saw last week, related to security, is who's in charge of salvation? We have to answer that question. Who's in charge of salvation? And what is true concerning salvation? Now, here's something. I'm not a philosophy person, but, you know, I've bumped into a little bit of it through the years. But in looking at what is true concerning salvation, we have to understand this. Two opposite statements, two contradictory statements, cannot both be true. Okay? You have two statements that contradict each other. They both cannot be true. So, you cannot lose your salvation. You can lose your salvation. Those are contradictory statements. Both of them cannot be true. One is true, and the other's false. That can be. Both can be false, but both can't be true. So that underpins what we're looking at as we talk about security. Now there's some questions that we have to ask before we get to the many passages of Scripture. First question is, what is salvation? That's what we're saying is secure. Well, what is salvation? Salvation is being saved from something and being saved to something. That's what salvation is. It's not some abstract, metaphorical whatever out there. It is a tangible, concrete experience. And salvation is to be saved from something and to be saved to something. Well, what are you saved from? Saved from a debt that you owe. Saved from a debt that you owe. Have you ever owed a bill and couldn't pay it? Don't raise your hand, okay? Maybe that's something that's, well, yes, as a matter of fact, right now, okay? You have to pay it. If you don't pay it, your name's going to be in the ball of a paper. All right? Every week there's column after column after column of somebody that's taken to court because they didn't pay a bill. Well, folks, we have a bill, a debt that is far greater than any encumbrance you may have against you in this life as far as the bills that you pay. It's a sin debt. Now, if you're here this morning and you haven't sinned, would you please stand? I see none. We've all sinned, and God said we did. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we've got a sin debt. That is a fact established by, backed up by, the God of this universe. If you want to challenge it, that's up to you. But know who you're taking on when you do. We have a sin debt. When salvation is given to us, we are freed from that debt. We no longer owe a debt. In fact, he said, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know about any sin that you've committed. He forgives and forgets. The result is we are holy like he is. Well, all right, we're saved from a debt and we're saved to something. We're saved, we're changed, we're saved to the image of Christ. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. You can't unchange that. You can't unchange that. So we're saved from something. We're saved to something. And as we mentioned last week as we closed, it's important to note that what we're saved from, this sin thing, we're saved from the penalty of sin. See, there's no longer a penalty against you and me once that gift of salvation has been given and believed. We're saved from the penalty of sin. Everybody who sinned owes the debt, but when that debt is covered, the penalty is gone. You no longer owe that penalty. We are saved from the power of sin. When we are saved, the sinful nature, the nature we inherited from Adam, controlled our lives. We didn't have to be tempted to sin, really. We just sinned. It's our nature. It's who we are. It's what we did. And there's nothing wrong with it. And we see that in the culture in which we live among those who are yet to believe. Don't you judge me. How can you say that so-and-so is a sin, this kind of thing? It's to them, it's idiocy to think that that is a sin. Well, when we were saved, when we became new creatures, we were saved from the presence of sin. We don't have to sin anymore. We don't have to sin anymore. Those who are yet to believe have to sin. That's their nature. We don't have to. And it grieves the Holy Spirit of God, God the Holy Spirit, when we do. And it quenches him. And you say, well, you know, okay. Oh, no. Okay, no. Oh, my. He who lives in you, God the Holy Spirit, is quenched. Folks, he is our function in this world. He is going to lead us into all truth. He is the one that is in us, is like the Lord Jesus Christ. God, the Holy Spirit, a member of the Trinity, lives in you. It's a big deal to grieve the Spirit. The power of God is quenched in your life, for one. Prayer. Prayer. If I regard iniquity in my heart, it says in Psalms 66:8, I think it is, if I regard iniquity in my heart, listen to me, the Lord will not hear me. Wow. It's a big deal. But if we're in Christ Jesus, we're saved from the presence of sin. We don't have to sin. And finally, and praise God, I missed my P's up again. I'm sorry. We are saved from the present sin that we don't have to sin, but we're saved from the power of sin. That's the right P, okay? Now, saved from the presence of sin, now we're saved from the literal presence of sin. No sin in heaven. Okay? Did I mess you up there? You all right? You forgive me? That's when you try to get to whatever, okay? All right. We're saved from the penalty of sin, the power of sin, and the presence of sin. Another question we have to ask before we move on to the verses of Scripture, is salvation about what God did or about what we do? Salvation is about something. Is it about what God did or about what we do? Can't be both. Two contradictory statements. Both cannot be true. Another question. If we can earn salvation and lose salvation, why did Jesus die? If we can earn salvation, if we can lose salvation, why did Jesus have to die? Another question. How do you factor in the love of God and the grace of God if salvation is about our efforts? How do you factor in the grace of God and the love of God if salvation is about our efforts? Who controls salvation? The one who planned it, paid for it, gave it as a gift, or the one who works to earn it and keep it? I'm guessing it's the person who planned it, paid for it, and gave it. He is the change agent in salvation. He is the one that's proactive in salvation, not us. If you should, and I'm not trying to convince you of anything today, I'm just giving you something to weigh here, okay? If you struggle with the truth of you cannot earn and you cannot lose your salvation, but if you lean on some of those passages and personalities that you can find in Scripture, Demas, Judas, the Gnostics, 1 John, the false teachers of 2 Peter, Hebrews 4 through 6. I know some of you thought, yeah, you dodged that one, big boy. No, I didn't, okay? There are those passages you can, you know, kind of go around. If you lean on those passages that are interpreted to mean you can lose salvation and earn salvation, what are you going to do with the plethora of passages that say you can't? Both cannot be true. Both are false, or one is true. And finally, once salvation is reality, it's the decision of the giver of salvation to rescind it. Once salvation is given, it is the decision of the giver of salvation to rescind it, and he said, I will not do that. Now, let's begin. We know that truth is what God says and what God sees. We know that culture does not define truth. Everybody agree on that for the most part? Okay, we're good, all right? All right. Truth is what God says. It's not what we think. It's not what we logically deduce. Thus, we have to examine what God says and not depend on what aligns with those temporal systems that dominate our lives, those economic systems. If you want a paycheck, you have to work for it, and you get paid after you work. Our governmental systems, our legal systems. If you break this law, then you go to jail or pay a fine or whatever. That if-then kind of thinking. God's salvation doesn't depend on that. If we do this, then He will give us salvation, as in works. You say, I've got you, though. I've got you. You got to believe. Hang on. I anticipated you'd say something about that. First of all, before we get to that, though, we need to clear something up. This is not your salvation. It's not my salvation. We talk in those terms. My salvation, okay? As if we did something to make it ours. It's not your salvation. It is His salvation. He created it. He planned it. He paid for it. It is His gift that He gave by grace through faith. And some of you know Ephesians 2, 8, 9 by heart. That was in part that verse, those two verses. And here's what it says. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. That, what's that? The faith. It is a gift of God. You hear that? Even the faith to believe, He supplied that. He gave us even the faith to believe. He owns it, lock, stock, and barrel. And handed that gift to whosoever would believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's another key point regarding the verses that are sometimes used to prove you can lose and earn salvation. There's the assumption that the person was saved. Did you ever notice that? There's the assumption that the person was saved. Who's making that assumption? God doesn't make assumptions. God knows. Saint, non-saint. And I'm pointing at chairs here, not people, okay? He doesn't assume, but those who would say you can earn and lose assume that the person was saved until they lost their salvation, right? Well, that'll go to court, won't it? What I think, it seems, it appears. Let me say now that, Andy, I may cross you up here, but... if you want these verses, okay, they should be on the website, okay, and you can get them there, all right? Because what we're going to do now, as promised, is go to the passages, in part. Folks, there are so many more that we're not even going to touch on this morning, but we're going to touch on a lot of them, all right? But they would be on the website under the sermon on this date, okay? Under, what is it, under... under worship. Okay, all right. Did you notice that much of John 10 is about this issue of security? Look at John 10, 28, and 30. And then the others will start appearing up. Maybe that one will, I don't know. The one that we just read, I give them eternal life and they will never perish. Does that sound temporary or permanent to you? Okay? And no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of His hand. And then look back at verse 9 that we looked at some time ago in the past as we moved through John. Jesus said, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. And now look at John 6. John 6, 37 to 40. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. Now, I'm going to have to pick this up because it's an 8-point font, and my arms are not 8-point font long, okay? All right. But these will appear. Are you with me? Way to go, Gabe. Okay. I was so naive this week. I wrote to Andy after I was getting toward the end of this and kind of threw my hat in, you know, because of all the verses of Scripture that we're going to look at. And I'm thinking poor Andy, okay, needs the help. I'm going to send these to him ahead of time so he can type them in, okay, and, you know, that kind of thing. So we'd have them on the screen because I think that's important. He assured me that he could handle it, okay. And he has ways that I know not of, all right? So, all right. First, John 5, 24. And I've written these down from the Word, okay? Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that hears my word and believes on him that sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life. John 6, 44 through 47. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draws him. We just read parts of this. And I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that has heard and has learned of the Father comes to me. Not that any man has seen the Father, save he which is of God. He has seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me has everlasting life. John 3:36. He that believes on the Son has everlasting life. You see that word everlasting keep coming? How long is that? All right. He that believes on the Son has everlasting life. And he that believes not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. John 14:23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man loves me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. John 14, 16 through 17. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. Comforter as in the Holy Spirit, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. 1 John 2:19. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. That gives you an answer for those who, they say, fall away, okay? Or lose their salvation. John is saying in 1 John, they never were with us. They were just hanging around, I guess. 1 John 3:2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Do you think that list is yet to be determined? Huh? It's written down. It's written down by name. And if it was possible to lose salvation, that name has to be erased. And that list would have to be made up at the last second, you know. He knows. He knows to the place that reservations have been made for those whose name is written down. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. See, if you are in Christ Jesus, one, you're not condemned, but two, you live after the Spirit. And John will emphasize that if the continual habitual practice of a person's life, they are in the flesh. They are not in the Spirit. They're not living in the Spirit. Ephesians 1:13, in whom ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, listen to this, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. We know what sealed means? Closed up. No exit. Can't be opened. Sealed. Colossians 3:4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with Him in glory. All of these verses are false if you can earn or lose salvation. What can you depend on in the Word of God if this many verses, and oh, there's a whole lot more, are false? Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Blind and halt, I am. All right. 1 Peter 1:3-5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, listen to this, and that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith and to salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. Do you see your handprints on that anywhere? Huh? I don't. It's all about Him. Saving, keeping. Got them both covered. Romans 8:38-39. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace have you been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. It is a gift of God, not of works, so that no one can boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in Him. Brother Dwayne sent me this one this week. I thank him for that. Romans 11:29-30. For the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. For the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. Just as you were at once disobedient to God, but now have received mercy because of the Jews, he's writing this in the context of them, their disobedience. You were included in that passage because the Jews were disobedient. Romans 8:29. For those He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, in order that He might be from the firstborn among many brothers. And those He predestined, He also called. And those He called, He also justified. And those He justified, He also glorified. And a cornerstone verse, if there can be one among these many, is one that many of you know by heart. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And folks, this is only a sampling. Only a sampling. There are many, many other passages besides these. And all of these passages are false if you can earn and or lose your salvation. Do you see what a big deal this is? Not only is your security at stake, but the reliability of the Word of God is at stake. If you can earn and lose salvation. Security of salvation is not a cherry-picked verse here and there through Scripture. It is a theme. A theme that flows throughout the Word of God. Salvation is a gift totally controlled by the giver of the gift. How in the world could humanity ever come to a position, and most humanity has, that you have to earn and you can lose salvation? How do we ever get to that? How do you connect the dot of God's Word with those dots over here? How did that happen? I was mystified by that this week. How could we ever read what we have read this morning and much more and come to the conclusion you have to earn and you can lose salvation? If you believe that you cannot, that you're secure in Christ, you cannot earn it and you cannot lose it, you are a minority of minorities. Did you know that? How did we ever get to that position? Comes back all the way to that garden. When Satan tempted Eve, and he said to her, "Hath God said?" That phrase right there has doomed billions to hell. Hath God said? Hath God said? He knows that when you eat, your eyes will be open and you'll be like him. That has been bought by most because we want to control salvation. We want to be in charge. We want to be the focus of salvation. I did it. I'm boss. I'm in charge. That's the issue. A belief that you can earn and lose is nothing more than a statement that I am in charge. Finally, this morning, we close with peace based on security. You know that bill we talked about a while ago that you owed and couldn't pay? Remember the stress, the anxiety, the worry that you had? At least I do. You know, it's something that you said you'd pay. You signed a contract maybe, but you can't do it. You don't have the money. And no sense writing a hot check and, you know, be doubly in trouble. And the stress and the anxiety and the worry. You can't pay the debt that you owe. I can't pay the debt I owe. I don't have the means. It can't be done with money. It has to be, it is a dimension that I can't even deal with. I have no access to solve it. in and of myself? How am I going to forgive or pay for the sins I've committed? I don't even know them all. I didn't write them down, did you? Or maybe you only have one and you remember it. All right, pay for that one then. Pay for the one you remember. See? There's no way. There's no way. But I received a promise from God when I was 12 years old. Out of that little Baptist church on 13 Highway, and it's not on 13 Highway anymore, but it's still there. Brighton Baptist Church, 12 years old, October the 3rd, 1962. I got a promise from God. John Wheeler, debt paid in full. Debt paid in full. All of the sins, 12-year-old boy, you've committed are forgiven. And while I'm at it, all that you may commit in the future, they're covered too. Your debt is paid. Oh, folks, you want to talk about peace. You want to talk about a peace that passes understanding, that's it. Not because of anything I've done. I've been a raunchy outfit, I'll be honest with you. I don't get into that muck and mire. I don't want to remember it, and I don't want to glorify it. But it doesn't matter. Because it's all forgiven. And you also, if you have repented, believed, and abide in His words, relax. Your debt has been paid also. You are holy in God's eyes. You have access to God the Father. You're invited to His throne room where you can come in time, and for help in time of need. You call Him Abba Father. He wants you to cast all your care on Him, for He cares for you. And you have that peace that passes understanding. You are a child of God. That's a big deal. That's a big deal. The God of this universe knows you by name. And He's proud of it. Mine. Think about that. Think about that. And one of these days, I think it's very soon, there's going to be a trumpet. I believe it's a real trumpet. It says trumpet, okay? It's going to sound. And the dead in Christ, the dead in Christ, those who died as believers, are going to be raised first. And then we which are alive and remain will be caught up in the air also. And those who died in Christ and those who are alive in Christ will be changed. And you know what? 100% right, correct. Because He knows. He knows. So He's got our past covered, the sin. He's got our future covered. What's left? Folks, that is peace. That is peace. And in the meantime, everything that happens in your life, believer, is according to His will. He allowed it, He planned it, He permitted it to conform you and me to the image of His Son. And I put no qualifying statement with that except this. No. Everything. And I know that doesn't make sense with this 2.5 pounds of gray matter. It doesn't compute. Only the God of this universe could contrive a plan that we can't understand and that we have to accept by faith. You see? The smartest people of this world, with a few, except a few, reject it because they can't logically figure it out. You know what God says about them? Fools. Fools. You consider what I've done as foolish. You're the fools. Rest in Him. Rest in that peace that this security gives you. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Your word that validates what you have done in our lives. If this was just a rumor, Lord, we couldn't have peace. If this was just speculation, we wouldn't have peace. But those in this room, seated in these chairs, standing at the back, wherever, we know a peace that passes understanding. There is no doubt. There is no doubt. Because we know all of this is based on what you did and not what we did. Thank you for the love that drew salvation's plan. Thank you for the love that brought it down to men and women. Thank you that this plan of salvation that saved our souls is sufficient to determine our eternity. We have no reason to fear. We have no reason to be anxious. We rest. We rest in your eternal love and mercy. Thank you for that. We love you. In Jesus' name.